Call to order the December 19th meeting of the Architecture Committee of the Beale Parade Commission. Could the Deputy Director take attendance to establish a quorum?
Mr. Fifield?
Present.
Mr. Bergeron?
Present.
Ms. DiMaggio, absent.
We'll start with old business and ask for, if anybody's present, for 932 through 41 St. Philip Street. We see we are. Could we have the staff report, please?
Yes. Okay, proposal to reopen enclosed courtyard and build new second-story additions to existing orange-rated structure per application materials received 11-14-23 and 12-4-23 respectively. Following committee review on November 28th, the applicant has returned with a revised set of drawings that respond to staff and committee comments. Staff noted the following items as needing particular guidance from the committee before moving forward. The dependency roof is noted as 5-12. Roof pitch 712 is typical. This may give the dependency some extra height, but the standard BCC detail sheet for detached dependencies is approximately 32 feet 6 inches tall when scaled, so there is room to increase the height slightly and still be typical. Due to the unusual footprint of the main building, the roof massing at the main building is atypical, but largely hidden by a parapet at the street-facing elevations. The roof form is revealed in the courtyard-facing elevations. The standing seam metal roof at the balcony and all downspout leader heads, gutters, and are noted as pre-finished metal. Pre-finished metal is typically only found approvable in limited conditions, but new construction may be considered. The actual finish of the metal makes a significant difference in its appropriateness, as faux patinas are not allowed. The windows on the street-facing elevations are noted as being wood, but are also called out as having simulated divided lights. Double glazing and simulated lights are not allowed in the booth frame. Several openings are shown as being inoperable due to the use behind them. Staff suggests that these openings still be made functional, as future occupants may change the building's program and wish to restore use. The wraparound balcony is shown with 3-inch round steel posts at the second floor with 1-inch top and bottom rails and half-inch square pickets. The provided wall section shows removal of the brick veneer at the existing 2x4 wall structure. Staff requests clarification that the only remaining portion of the current building that will be reused except the courtyard pool is the foundation. Notes in different places call for both wood decking and composite decking at balconies. Staff notes that air just may be approved for this property if the stringer spacing is acceptable. The wall section shows the assembly of ECC formula stucco over self-furring metal lath, over drainage mat, over exterior sheathing, and water barrier. Since lath and other sheathing will be used, expansion joints will likely be needed if it is the BCC formula stucco that will be used. Locations for these expansion joints should start being explored now. The depth of the doors and windows within the walls is not clear. It is staff's opinion that one of the most critical features of successful new construction in the district is that doors and windows have depth within the walls and not appear surface mounted. These street-facing walls may need to become thicker to accommodate this needed depth. Staff notes that all materials and details presented are shown at their simplest. While the guidelines discourage new construction or additions from being too ornamental, there is also the concern that contemporary detailing can often look vague, can look value engineered. The guidelines state that in many cases, a successful new building is one that is clearly contemporary in design but compatible with the character of neighboring properties. An understanding of existing building fabric should be viewed as a starting point in the design process and not a limited vocabulary or kit of parts. It is generally appropriate to consider a new building with details and trim that complement historic neighborhood, historic trim and details.
Thank you. Would the applicant like
While revisions are needed for some of the items above, staff finds the proposed work compatible with the design guidelines for new construction at a conceptual level, including massing setback orientation. Additional development and review is needed prior to final approval, but staff finds the proposed new construction conceptually approvable with the project to be forwarded to the commission for consideration.
Thank you. Would the applicant like to state their name and address in relationship to the property?
Catherine Harmon, 6238 Argonne, LK Harmon Architects.
Thank you. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
We have no problems with anything in the staff report. I can go into some detail, or I can just wait and work it out with staff. Or if y'all have any questions for us.
Let's go to some questions first, and then we can see what happens. Okay. Do you have any questions for the applicant or the staff?
I was not present when this was first reviewed, so I'm kind of catching up.
Okay, then I'll start. I think that you're showing really very good design development, and I think this is going to be a great building. I do think that the staff has pointed out some very good points that we can cover as the design develops after conceptual approval. I'd like to add guardrail detailing to that as well, just as kind of in that general category of kit of parts. You probably, may want to explore something that has a little bit more weight and a little bit more substance to it than what you're showing. We're really reviewing this at a conceptual level. So I think that I can say with real confidence that a 5 and 12 pitch roof is fine for this building from a technical and kind of contextual basis, especially for the main building. There may be some discussion about the pitch of the service building roof simply because it's more visible, but I don't see any trouble with that. I think this is going to be a great building. Have you caught up?
And the property report describes this as a new second-story addition.
Yes.
But I am looking at a section that's on slide 29 that shows pretty much the whole existing building in red dashed line. So it's really a demo and a new construction. Is that right?
Pretty much, yes. Because it's brick veneer on wood studs, and if we're putting the second floor.
Okay.
Does this change the way the commission views it?
There's going to be that layer of a period, I have no doubt.
Okay.
Fine. You could still, but you would still be working in your design development phase anyway, so,
I think
go to commission, and that will be on the table.
I do think it constitutes substantial demolition of the existing
building. Aaron advised us in room 8, they advised us to design it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Again, I don't have any trouble with that because it's a non-contributing building. So, is there any public comment on the matter of 939 through 41 St. Philip Street? I see no public comment. Stephen, do you want to follow up anything?
I hate to go against the grain, but I'll just ask the question. Did the staff have anything to say about the existing building and whether or not it had any merit as a French Quarter revival building?
We knew you were going to say that.
Well, I just think it's a question that we ask every time.
After the site visit, what's been done to this building? I know you were there. Please feel free to pipe in. It's pretty bad. There's just not a lot of redeeming fabric here.
And it's highly altered from its original.
It's highly altered,
even from the original construction. It was altered in violation.
It was altered in violation.
Yeah, so we're not working with much here.
Okay. One other thing.
What you're seeing there is not what is currently there.
And just one last thing I'll mention. This is probably too detailed to touch on at this meeting, but that same section on slide 29 shows the brick ledge. It looks like it's going to be front and center, exposed, kind of. How do you plan to resolve the brick ledge?
Good. That's a good question.
Yeah, we did, and we don't have anything in mind yet. We're trying to be a big picture right now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe we
could
increase the depth of the brick ledge, but
we
need to talk to our structural
engineer.
Yeah, structural engineer and the contractor.
That's good catch. Okay. Something to think about.
You worry about that.
Okay.
Any other comments?
None for me.
Okay. Do you have anything else you'd like to say before we go to motions?
If you have any more questions,
Okay, great. Thank you. Is there a motion in the matter of 939 through 41 St. Philip Street?
Yes, in the matter of 941 St. Philip, I move to conceptually approve the new construction proposal with the project to be forwarded to the commission for their consideration.
And to adopt the staff report?
And to adopt the staff report.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Congratulations. You're on your way to a new construction in the district. We'll move on to new business and ask if there's anybody present for 1124 Burgundy Street.
Yes.
Yes, there is. Could we have
and
a staff?
The samples in your there.
Staff report, please.
For 1124. This is a proposal to install a new pool. At rear courtyard for application materials received, 9/13/23 and 11/13/23 respectively. The pool is shown offset 1 foot 0 inches from the existing raised planters that will surround the pool on three sides. It meets minimum setback requirements and is flush with the adjacent neighbors. No alterations to drainage are indicated. Staff requests that the applicant confirm that none are needed. Finished samples have also been provided for the committee's consideration. That's what you see in front of you. A note calls for the proposed equipment area to be screened with wall, fence, and gate minimum 54 inches tall with landscape at around all sides. Staff will need more complete drawings showing the screening and landscaping operations prior to permit. This area currently includes a raised planter. Staff questions whether this will require the addition of a concrete slab for the equipment to sit on, and if so, will that affect the formal foundation of the masonry fence? Equipment includes a heat pump filters, a gas filter, and a chlorine generator. All appear to be consistent with pool installation of this type. Control and electrical panels are shown mounted to the adjacent wall. One Hayward color logic light is proposed for the pool. Since colored lights cannot be approved, staff requests that the applicant provide a spec sheet for the light that is limited only to white light and does not have a color changing capability. Overall, staff finds the proposed work to be keeping in touch, keeping with the guidelines for pool installation and recommends conceptual approval with final revised documents to be provided to staff for final review and approval as noted above.
Thank you. I'd like to state your name and address in relationship to the property.
Brad Schaefer, 1124 Burgundy. I am the pool contractor.
Great, thank you. Do you have a presentation you'd like to make or a response to the staff report?
I think everything's accurate.
Okay, great. Committee, any questions for the applicant?
None for the applicant. This is a wacky, wild sight line
so
this property.
And caused quite the issue. it was not correct in the assessor's website. We worked for months on getting that straight, and this is the property line,
So I'm wondering, is this pool equipment set back adequately from the property line to meet zoning requirements?
That I do not know. This is not my project. Aaron would have reviewed that, yes. I think it's only 2 feet now from property line. Do you remember? I'm not sure about the equipment, but I know that Aaron would have.
Are you aware of that requirement?
As the VCC requirement, I'm not. I think in the city deferred to you guys.
Well, it's a zoning requirement.
Yeah.
So the short answer is no, I guess.
Okay. Well, we'll have to note that. And is there any screening proposed for the pool equipment?
So there will be a planting that will screen all of that.
So vegetation?
Correct.
Okay.
But this note here says proposed equipment area screened with wall, fence, and gate.
54 inches high.
That's just part of the plans. I don't think that was necessarily set in stone. In conversation with Erin, she might have even specified a plant only screen. I don't recall. 100%.
Okay. That seems to be kind of a loose detail.
Okay.
We can do. She can do it. I'm sure she's had conversations about it.
Okay. Is there any public comment about this proposal? I see no public comments. And these materials, this is the deck that you're proposing?
That's
the
actually waterline tile.
Waterline tile. This is?
Existing decking.
That you'll reinstall?
Correct.
Okay. And these are?
The pool plaster itself will be a combination of the two. They'll be mixed.
Okay, great. We've approved this before. Okay. I think they like dark colors. Okay. Any other questions for the applicant?
I think staff asked in this report for you to confirm that no additional, that no alterations to drainage is needed.
Correct.
Okay.
There's an existing drain within very close proximity, and we would put any overflow drain from the pool into that.
Okay.
And that will suffice.
All right.
I think as staff reviews this, they do need to look at the positioning of the equipment and how it's screened as a kind of a staff level checklist item. Anything else you'd like to add before we go to a motion?
No, sir.
Is there a motion in the matter of 1124 Burgundy Street?
Yes, in the matter of 1124 Burgundy, I move to conceptually approve the proposal to install a new pool with all final details to be worked out at the staff level.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Perfect.
Thanks. You can work with the staff on
details.
Yes, next item is 1120 North Rampart. Do we have an applicant present? Do we have an applicant for 1120 North Rampart?
Can I come back to it?
Yeah. Okay. We'll just go to 1118 Decatur Street.
Okay.
Can we do the staff report, please?
Sure. 1118 Decatur is also 2325 Country Marketplace. 1118 Decatur is a pink-rated building, and 2325 Country Marketplace is yellow-rated. They proposed to replace the existing wood shutters with new bifolding wood shutters. Application materials received November 15th and December 5th, 2023, respectively. The proposed work occurs at two existing openings on the ground floor of the French Marketplace elevation. Staff noticed that back in July of this year, the committee approved the installation of new millwork in these openings behind the shutters, where previously the shutters themselves functioned as the exterior doors. The applicant is now proposing to bifold one shutter at each opening. The initial submittal, the leaves noted as B and C would become bifolding, while the other two, noted as A and D, would remain the same. At staff's recommendation, the second option was submitted that would bifold all four shutters. Both options show vertical beadboard on the exterior side of the shutters, but no details are shown regarding the interior side. The existing shutters feature boards at a 45-degree angle on the interior side. Staff recommend that any replacement shutters should maintain this detail or be consistent with examples seen in the guidelines for breaking shutters. Staff notes that this elevation was completely reimagined as part of the 1992 renovation, including the addition of the openings at the upper floors and the rearrangement of the ground floor openings. Regarding bifolding and breaking shutters, the guidelines note that they were used in the 1820s, 1840s to protect large arched ground floor street openings of shops. Each shutter is set back 8 to 10 inches into the opening and has a double knuckle hinges that allows the small section to open parallel to the jamb and the larger section to fold back against the building wall. The existing and proposed shutters are both shown mounted at the exterior thickness of the wall, so the folded effect demonstrated in the guidelines would not be the same in this instance. Instead, the shutters are shown folded over themselves against the wall when open. The guidelines do not address this type of proposed modification to shutters, only noting that the BCC recommends retaining and maintaining historical shutters. Again, staff notes that these shutters are not considered historic. Of the two options, staff prefers option B to maintain consistency in the openings, but ultimately staff requests commentary from the committee regarding the proposal and change in shutter design.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property?
Yes, David Karimi, 530 Union St. Francis, and I am the GC.
Okay. Do you have a presentation or a staff report, response to the staff report you'd like to share?
I do not. If there's any questions.
I guess the question is, why the change?
The initial change or the second option?
The initial from what was approved originally. Just tell us why you want to revisit this design.
Well, the idea is that when those shutters are open, the two that would be the center ones, that they back up to each other and they're quite awkward, and then they kind of block the sidewalk. So
they don't lay flat on the wall, right? When they're mm-hmm. open, they stick straight out.
I just wanted him to say that.
Yeah.
So now they're going to overlay kind of like this.
On top of each other.
Yeah. Thanks. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff?
No, none for me.
I think since this is something that's already, it's a changed element. We're not talking about historic shutters. We're looking at a different operation and not historic openings either. That gives us a latitude for approval.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything you'd like to add? Oh, public comment? I'm sorry. No public comment?
I have one question.
Staff, yes.
How are these locked?
They are Jimmy Coop locked. So on the outside, you just have the coin size apparatus, and then on the inside is the Jimmy Coop.
Okay.
Got it.
I didn't know about the hardware. Thanks.
Is there a motion in 1118 for 1118 Decatur Street?
Yes, in the matter of 1118 Decatur, I move to conceptually approve the new shutters with revisions to be made for the staff report and a preference for option B.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thanks for coming in today.
Yep.
Next item is 1208 Bourbon Street. Do we have an applicant present? 1208 Bourbon Street. I don't see an applicant. So we will go on to 914 through 16 St. Anne Street. Do you have an applicant present?
Erica, are you here for this one? This is a proposal to replace attic vent with stained glass window per application materials received 11/29/23. The applicant proposes to replace the louvered attic vent centered on the front gable, which is flanked by two fixed stained glass sashes, with a new stained glass window. A photo from 1963's survey shows that there was once a stained glass window in this location, similar to design to the two that remain. The guidelines recommend restoration of this window and allow approval at staff level, but staff seeks the guidance of the committee since this would eliminate potentially crucial attic vent. Staff requested the applicant to clarify whether or not other roof vents are present on the building, especially considering issues with unpermitted work at this property in recent years, which should not be resolved. If found conceptually approvable by the committee's full-scale and dimensional millwork drawings will be required before permits are issued at staff. If any replacement roof vents are not to be proposed, documentation of this type of vents and where they will be located will also be needed.
Great, thank you. Would you like to state your name and address and relationship to the property?
Eric Gates Preservation, representative for the building owner and contractor, 1026 North Carolina Avenue.
Great. Do you have a presentation you'd like to share with us?
It's pretty straightforward. I think they're looking to restore the window here as it was previously, matching kind of similar sister houses on the block and to match the adjacent windows on either side. They do have venting within the attic. I can have Mr. Ransdell to confirm that it is enough venting within the attic, within the roofing material, that it is appropriate to remove this and replace it with a window. So we'll make sure we get that confirmation from the contractor to the staff.
Okay, great. Thanks. Committee, any questions for the applicant?
What kind of other vents are present for the attic?
I do believe there is the traditional, for slate roof, the traditional B vent kind of in the middle of the roof structure, but I do need to confirm that with the contractor.
Okay.
They do have recently done a roof, as you can see from the picture.
Anything else?
We'll make sure.
No. Is there any public comment? I see no public comment. Anything else from the staff about this? Nothing from the staff. Is there a motion in matter of 914 through 16 St. Anne Street?
Yes, in the matter of 914 to 16 St. Anne, I move to conceptually approve the proposed stained glass window replacing an existing attic vent with the caveat that the applicant will provide to the staff information on other existing vents and, I guess, proof that there is adequate ventilation in the attic.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thanks for coming in. Next item is under appeals and violations. It's 728 Dumaine. Do we have an applicant present?
Yes,
we do.
Colin Levy. We'll get to you.
Sure thing. Okay. Could we have the staff report, please?
Sure. 728 Humane is a blue-rated building. The proposer obtained roll-down roofing on the rear service cell. Prior application received June 19th, 2023, and September 5th, 2023. Staff had an opportunity to visit the property on November 22nd. Upon entering the courtyard and inquiring about access to the roof, staff was informed that a ladder from the courtyard to the roof is the only way to access the roof. As staff was not equipped with a two-story ladder, staff was not able to fully inspect the roof. Staff researched prior permits for this property and was able to locate a permit from 1999 for installation of new hardy slate fiber cement shingles. Unfortunately, the permit is not specific on the exact roof area or areas to be worked on, but based on aerial photographs of the building, the service cell roof appears to match the main roof from the earliest aerial photograph from 2004 through January 2017. This approximately 20-year lifespan would be consistent with what staff has observed for similar fiber cement shingles in the district. Staff also notes that 728 Dumaine is one in a row of two townhouses, along with the neighboring 730 Dumaine. Staff has recent roof plans of the service L of 730 Dumaine, which note the slope at 20%, or approximately 2.4 inch well. This slope would be well within the range of some of the approvable contemporary slate systems, some of which advertise being able to be installed on slopes as shallow as 5%. Based on the information available to staff, this roof seemingly previously had a permitted cement-type shingle roof, appears to have adequate slope for some type of new approvable roofing material, and the existing roofing material was not permitted. Staff recommends denial of the proposed retention.
Thank you. Would you like to state your name and address in relationship to the property?
My name is Darlene Jacobs-Levy, and I live at 832 Central Street, and I'm the owner of 728 Humane Street.
Great, thank you. Do you have a presentation you'd like to share with us?
Yes, I will. Last time I came to the hearing, I had several exhibits that I wanted to introduce. I think you have some of them. One is the affidavit from my general contract of Barkey Land, when he says that the slope of the roof that was involved, 90% of the roof is completely flat, and there's a partial slope where it meets the building, but not enough to substantiate the section being covered with slate. And that was already communicated to Mr. Albrecht per Mr. Ewingham. We also have a letter from Bryford regarding the replacement of that part of the roof following Hurricane Ida. We also have an email to Mr. Albrecht from Marky Lim, the commercial contractor, saying that after being on the roof to assess the areas that needed to be changed, more than 90% of the roof is completely flat and there is a partial slope where it meets the building, however, not enough to substantiate the section being slate. And the last document that I have is a letter addressed to Ms. Robinson, Mr. Anderson, regarding the affidavits which I intended to introduce today. The only way you can see that part of the roof is by drone. That's the only way they knew it. If you go into my patio, which some of you all did, you know that it takes a 30-foot ladder to go all the way up to the top where it's located. The roof was replaced. It was $52,000 to replace the roof following Hurricane Ida, and I'm going to stand by my position that I'm not going to replace the roof. If you want to take the court, take it to court. I go to court every day. That's what I do for a living. I feel adamant about this position. I think I'm being picked on by this committee. I want to tell this committee I own 15 buildings in the French Quarter, and they're all in very good shape. As you know, you went through Dumaine Street and you looked at it. That's more than I can say for other people that own property around me.
So we see items that are brought to us by the staff. So there's no way this committee can be picking on you. The agenda
is... Can I say why I think you're picking on it? Because the only way you can see it by drone is by drone. Who are the complainers? Did any of my neighbors complain?
No.
I'm going to defer to the staff for this. I'm not going
to
respond.
I reiterated this to Ms. Levy multiple times. The VCC does not now, nor will ever own a drone. And that the photographs that you see are either taken from other buildings or from electronic systems like pictometry or Google Maps. So the fact is that the Blue Curry Commission has jurisdiction over the outside envelope of your building, which includes the roof, whether it's visible from the street or not. Because it is visible from other locations, but we wouldn't have these photographs. You do not have a drone, and we're not spying on you.
I'm not picking on you. But the fact is, a roof was installed in deviation of what's permitted without a permit.
And the permit was then applied for by a member of Home Fund staff and they or my agents for this particular building. So we have a valid permit.
For that material?
Huh?
You got a permit to install that material?
Right. Well, we did. We applied a permit. In fact, that was done by Mr. Chauvinet from Home Fund.
Do you have a copy of the permit?
I don't have a copy of the permit, but I think you all.
Does the staff have a copy of the permit for that material?
I don't have the copy. The permit that she's talking about was for the slate roof that was for the main building. It does not mention the service wing. It was for the roof repair of the slate, and that was done correctly. The rear slope of the main building was put back to slate, and that is correct. The issue that was cited was not that roof. It was for the service wing building, which is considered here.
That section see the photograph.
Right.
The front part of the building is the slate.
Right.
The
right.
back part is what is the contract and you could not put slate on that.
Go to the other one, the next one with the white. No, it was the one that showed the correct one with the incorrect one in the same shot.
You mean the
that. So the white roof right there is what we're talking about, correct?
Yes.
That is not flat.
Well, according to my contractor, it is, and according to the roofer, it was. They could not put slate on it.
Okay. Well,
and
I think
I'm entitled to know who the complainant was, and whether or not any complaint was lodged against me by any of my neighbors, some of whom operate illegal bed and breakfasts in that neighborhood. I'm entitled to know that, because then I'm going to start patrolling my neighborhood. And filing complaints.
Ma'am, we're really not talking about anything but the roof today. And if you have a question about public records, I'm sure you can make that request since you're so adept at being a lawyer. But we're not doing public requests, but records requests today. Is there any public comment in the matter of 718 Domain Street? I'm sorry, 728 Domain Street. I see no public comment. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
I do not.
I'm asking the committee for any questions for you.
No questions for me.
Or for the staff? Staff, anything else you'd like to add? This is your opportunity to speak before we make a motion.
Yeah, as I said, I'm going to start patrolling my neighborhood. I will do a public records request to find out if any of my neighbors made a complaint against me, and also how you all could actually envision something that you cannot get to unless you go into the patio with a 30-foot ladder.
Satellite imagery.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No.
Okay, thank you. Committee, is there a motion in the matter of 728 Domain Street?
Yes, in the matter of 728 Domain, noting that the applicant has mentioned the cost of the roof and has expressed some sentiments that this is a hardship. I'll note that this committee does not review hardship, but the full commission may. I move to deny the request to retain the existing roll-down roof material.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thanks for coming in today. Next matter is 817 St. Louis Street. We have an applicant present.
She was here. Catherine? 817 St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Oh, I'm sorry.
St. Louis.
I'm on the wrong one.
Can we have a staff report, please?
Yes. 817 St. Louis is a pink-rated main building service wing with brown-rated courtyard additions. This is a proposal to retain second-floor French doors that do not match previously existing fabrication material received July 6, 2022 and December 5, 2023, respectively. Staff cited the second floor French doors back in March 2019 as they had been in place and did not match the previously existing French doors. Specifically, the muntins in the doors were significantly larger in the new doors compared to the old. The transom windows above the doors remained in place and showed the difference in muntin sizes as previously the door and transom muntins all matched. A permit was then issued in May of 2019, which included replacing the muntins to match the previously existing design. It appears from photographs that some work was done to the muntins around this time, but still, the muntins are significantly wider than previously existed. The applicant is now proposing to retain the muntins as built. A drawing provided by the applicant shows that the existing door muntins are a full 1 inch wide plus an additional 1 inch of window glazing for a total width of 2 inches. By comparison, the existing transom window muntins, which match the previously existing door muntins, are shown as 7/16 inches wide with additional approximately 1/2 inch of glazing for a total width just under 1 inch. The wider muntins are quite noticeable when viewed. The staff notes that in more recent photographs, it appears the window glazing has gotten significantly dirtier and darker, which actually helps reduce the visual impact of the width. Still, the guidelines require matching the original materials, type, size, shape, configuration, muntin pattern, dimension, profile, and detail. As the existing door muntins clearly do not match the previously existing, staff recommends denial of the proposed dimension.
Thank you. I'd like to state your name and address in relationship to the property.
Catherine Honig, 6238 Argonne, New Orleans, LK Honig Architects.
Thanks. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
Yes, brief. I came in on this end of the fact. It was just the only worker. I came in when the problem started. Thank you. I personally think that wider muntins look fine, and my client would like to retain them. They're well built. The doors up close and personal are very well built and they function fine. My personal opinion, they look fine. I'm aware that the 7/16 is the more traditional. We were doing it from scratch. We follow the guidelines. This is a request for retention.
Great, thank you. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this proposal?
No questions for me.
Is there any public comment in the matter of 817 St. Ann Street? I see no public comment.
St. Louis,
I'm sorry. And my fault too. No public comment. Anything that you'd like to add before we go to a motion?
This client maintains his buildings very well. He worked on several of them. And he's just trying to keep like any children.
Any discussion from the committee?
I could see that, you know, it's a shame that I guess what we're asking is to throw away what are architecturally inappropriate but also perfectly good doors. Seeing as we're only talking about architecture here, I don't think I could support retention. But I can understand a person who may not be very, a building owner who may not be very knowledgeable about architectural matters could have contracted with someone who made doors that don't match and now is in this really difficult position, which would be a hardship.
That's what I'm thinking. There may be a hardship here that you can present, either financial or process related. But I think I'd have to support the staff recommendation based solely on architecture. Anything else from the staff? Would you like to say anything before we go to a motion? Okay. Is there a motion in the matter of 817 St. Ann Street?
St. Louis.
St. Louis Street.
Yeah.
Golly. I'm
the next one.
I know, I'm just looking at the wrong thing.
Yes, in the matter of 817 St. Louis Street, I move to deny retention of second floor French doors that do not match previously existing.
Now we'll get to say what
we haven't voted yet. I'll second the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. You can always appeal this to the full commission. Thank you. Now we're going to move on to 817 St. Louis Street. Is there an applicant present for this application?
819 St. Anne. Actually.
It says 817 on my thing.
That's the one we just heard.
Where are... This guy wasn't here.
Oh, 817... No.
817 St. Louis.
Now we're on 8...
There's a...
Oh, they're out of order.
The agenda.
Okay. tell me what's next on the agenda, because my agenda
is... We were
just
on 817 St. Louis, and now we're going to be on 817 St. Anne. Are yours out of order?
Okay, it's just that the packet is out of order, I think.
Oh.
So I'm sorry, or something.
No.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, we're going to hear 817 St. Anne.
Next time we will space out. Similar
number,
yeah.
Oh, I see.
817 St. Anne. This one I'm going to go through number by number. This is a proposal to address violations and install two new dormers on main building for application materials received 12/5/23. Notice violation sent 6/13/11, 1/8/14, 3/27/15, 1/25/17, 12/25/18, 10/11/21, and 5/16/22. This blue-rated property has suffered from demolition by neglect and work without permits for a substantial amount of time. The applicant proposes the following work. Starting with number 3, remove and replace slate roof. Staff notes that the keynote only appears to be for the front slope of the main building and requests clarification on the current material on both roof slopes. Number 4, rebuild balcony removed without benefit of VCC review and approval. The dolphin side second floor balcony at the main building was removed, and the applicant proposes to rebuild it. The wood posts and rail seem to match photos of the previous condition, but staff notes that the metal structure proposed was not there previously. The proposed balcony looks to have been supported only with wood brackets. Staff is concerned about adding outrigger pockets and will need more detailed drawings. The drawings also do not specify the overall size of the balcony. The applicant proposes to use composite deck boards, but they are not approvable on a blue-rated building. Staff recommends deferral of item 4. Remove skylight on rear slope of main building. Staff has no objection. Number 6, add 2 new dormer windows with slate roof and slate cheek walls. This is a significant alteration for a blue-rated building. Staff does not find dormers to be appropriate unless the interior of the existing roof structure shows evidence that they previously existed on this roof slope. Staff recommends deferral. Number 7, retain columns at both levels and turn spindle railing at second floor of middle building. A typical detached dependency with balcony would not have columns on the first floor. This work was completed without permit at some point. VCC staff first observed the work in 2019. Staff does not find that this to be appropriate for retention for a building of this age and style and recommends denial. Number 8, remove metal stair at middle building and install typical wood rail with square pickets. Staff recommends conceptual approval, but notes that drawings should show how this rail will interact with the posts and rail at the second floor balcony. Number 9, retain iron rails at rear entrance to main building. It is unclear when this work was done. Staff seeks the guidance of the committee as the rear elevation has been heavily modified. Number 10, remove asphalt shingle roof replaced with pre-finished metal. Staff notes that this keynote seems to be unused. Number 11, new HVAC platform. Staff has no objection, but drawings and screenings will be needed. Number 12, remove standing seam metal roofing, replace with standing seam pre-finished metal roof. Pre-finished metals are generally not allowed, and a metal roof is not appropriate on this building. The existing metal roof was not permitted and should not be replaced in kind. Since the building is blue-rated, the roof should be natural slate. Number 13, replace existing gutters and downspouts with pre-finished metal. Pre-finished metal is not appropriate. 14, remove damaged wood and glass door at rear main building. Replace with 4-panel wood door and new hardware. Staff finds the proposed door more appropriate, but needs drawings to review. Number 16 and 17, appeal to retain movable AC units in transom. VCC does not permit window units that are movable without modifications to historic materials. The issue here is that the millwork modifications required for them. Staff recommends denial. Number 18, retain louvers at rear of main building. Staff has been given no information about these vents, but they are detrimental to the overall elevation. Staff recommends deferral. Staff notes that violations remain that have not been addressed, including unpermitted masonry work on the rear dependency. All violations must be included in this application prior to permit issuance.
Thank you. I'd like to state your name and address in relationship to the property, please.
Catherine Harmon, 623 at Fargo on the Walls, LK Harmon Architects.
Thank you. Do you have
this is Anthony.
Anthony Malonzo, Jr., the owner of the property.
Great, thank you for coming. Do you have a
as well.
Also the contract. Okay.
Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report that you'd like to share with us?
Yes, this one won't be as brief as the prior ones. We can go through each one.
Sure.
Remove and put, replace slate roof. Yeah, that would be the entire main building, not just front facing slope. The side balcony.
Can you do it by number, Catherine? Would you
mind? Yeah, I'll do it. Okay, that was number three. Removing and replacing the entire slate roof of the main building. Number four, rebuild balcony on the balcony side. We have no problem with using the brackets, which is what we actually showed. But we're not allowed to use aerators, so we'll use wood because it's blue-rated. That's fine.
So I have a question about that. Your detail shows a wood strongback brace, and you're switching to metal. Is that how that works? Detail
no,
BA1.
There's a metal outrigger right now. Mm-hmm. There's two metal outriggers. Show in our photos on sheet A2, you can see it in the lower left-hand photo that they're metal brackets right now. So we're just going to leave those and cover them up with wood.
So the four. So the 4x4 painted wood bracket. That's.
Well, they're like flat bar brackets then. Flat bar outriggers, and then we would leave it in. Turn it into a wood bracket, a wood diagonal support.
Why?
But y'all are saying that those are not historic. I mean, I figured that they were, but you're saying that they're not.
This is the balcony that's supported by wooden posts now, isn't it?
Are we talking about the same balcony?
I don't know. It's one that's referenced as BA1.
Yeah, BA1. The one that's on the side of the main building, the Dauphine Street side elevation. Okay. 1A1.
Got it. I'll get that.
You got it. Yes.
But it's gone.
Yes, it's gone except for those two.
There you go, right there.
Like black bar or their angle bars. So I was going to leave those there and put diagonal wood bracing.
Oh. Okay, so you're... The diagonal bracing.
Below. Because that's what it used to look like.
Well, it was probably structured originally without any kind of bracing at all. I'm just wondering about combining wood.
Yeah, the metal is outriggers are encased in the brick. The old brick.
Okay.
Are you following this?
So, I mean, the
are you following
would be to
oh,
have
yeah.
those every
okay.
2 feet. So we could have more flat bars and add more.
Is there evidence? I would expect to see an outrigger.
I don't see evidence.
More than just the two on the ends, you know. Yeah, I'd expect to see a few in the middle.
And you know, my response to this is you know, you have a metal... structural system. I'm just wondering why you want to introduce wood into this detail. Would it be easier?
I'm fine with leaving it all metal. I just.
And that would be welded connections then?
I'm not sure yet. I have to consult with structural engineer. But it used to be brackets, wood diagonals, so that's why we wanted to put them back.
This would be a matter for a historian. Renee, is there, we're looking at slide, what slide is this?
158.
This would have been originally structured as a cantilever without brackets.
If that was even an original balcony. Yeah, it wouldn't have had brackets.
Right.
So, if there was even a balcony there originally.
Mm-hmm. But we're asking that they restore the balcony. And I'm thinking that a lighter detailing in all metal might be more appropriate here. Okay.
I certainly wouldn't go back to the bracket. Yeah.
Right. Okay, do you want to just keep going?
Anybody's telling me that the staff recommended, someone on the staff recommended it would be wood. That's why. I just came in on this.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's why we're looking at it now. And Stephen, what do you think?
I agree with y'all.
I'm fine with it being wood and metal. I thought metal would be more structural, but since the outrigger is already encased in a brick, but it was recommended wood.
I think the staff may have been just working with limited information and trying to put things back the way that they were in these photos. But I think what we're looking at in these photos is probably not an original condition.
Right. Or if metal was hiding and you couldn't see it from the picture because it looks like the wood was just kind of sistered on the side of the metal.
Yeah.
But I don't see any holes to identify that they had bolts or anything.
The joists would be running parallel to that wall, so you wouldn't be putting a flat bar system to the joist like on a front balcony wall. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be definitely needing a structural engineer.
Yeah, let's hold that one out and move on.
All right. Well, the next one would be remove skylight. Of course, we all agree on that. Add two new dormer windows. Number six.
Why don't you talk about that?
I just feel like it would go with the style of the building. We're not asking them to have them on the front, just the rear. You know, we proportion them to fit with the scale of the building. We feel like we enhance the facade in the rear. And since we're getting rid of the skylight, which was totally non-historic and leaks, and since we're re-roofing anyway, the whole building with slate, introduce some light into those upstairs apartments.
Is there any evidence in the roof structure that shows it, that they have?
I haven't seen that yet, but no.
So guidelines would not recommend this if there's no evidence, but again.
Okay, let's just keep moving.
Move on?
Yes, please.
Seven, retain columns at both levels on that middle building. Okay. Those have been there for many, many years, certainly before even one of us came in on. Anthony feels like they may have been installed in response to structural failure, but we're not sure. So I'll recommend to him that we get a structural engineer to determine that. Because if we can just take them out and call it a day, that would be fine, but we're not going to just do that.
Well, no, we want you to either strengthen the balcony to support itself as originally or tell us why that can't be done.
Yeah, because we realized that wouldn't have been original.
Yeah, okay.
The previous owner, who was my client also, Ray, he says that they've been there for over 50 years. So I know that there's a thing that says if something's there for 50 years or more, he's trying to find a picture.
Okay.
But we realized that would not have been original.
Let's keep going.
Number eight, remove metal stair rail at middle building and install typical wooden rail with square pickets. Y'all recommend conceptual approval for the bond. Nine, retain arm rails at rear entrance to main building. No elaboration, we're asking to retain.
Just keep going.
New HVAC platform staff, no objection. Okay. 12. Remove standing seam metal roofing. Replace with standing seam refinished metal roofing. Okay. That's already metal right now. And Anthony's concern, he just pointed out to me that it's
less than 312 pitch.
You can't put slate on less than 312 pitch, which is probably why someone put metal on it years and years ago. So, metal is what I
Can you just let me know where that is in the building? I'm trying to find it in your drawing.
Right there.
Right here on the main building.
The middle building.
Yes.
Yep, right in the middle picture.
Got it. Okay. Okay, keep going. We're up to 13.
Oh, 13. Replace existing gutters and downspouts with pre-finished metal. I'm thinking y'all want either galvanized, painted, or copper.
Yes.
Okay. 14. Remove damaged wooden glass door at rear main building. Replace a full panel wood door. Of course, we will give you developed drawings when we get to that point. 16 and 17. We realize that the issue is not the actual air conditioning, portable air conditioning window units. It's the alteration of millwork to accommodate them. So Anthony has agreed to just replace the shutters and just leave them in open position. And down the line, perhaps install mini splits and get rid of it all. And then also reinstall, rebuild the windows that have been altered in order to keep the window units from now.
Great. 18?
Retain louvers at rear main building. Those are housing the condensers for the two upstairs apartments. So we can either leave these louvers there functioning as housing for ventilation for two existing condensers, or we can put the condenser somewhere in the courtyard or up on that roof platform, which would be the lesser evil. I don't know if these openings were original or not.
My only concern with that one, just make sure that it meets mechanical.
Yeah, for sure.
Make sure that that's okay.
Yeah. It's been like that for years.
But that doesn't mean
yeah, so those louvers are providing fresh air for condenser units?
They're providing exit for the fan air. So there's a kind of tube that's on the top of the condenser, and the air goes out through the louvers.
Pushing out.
Yes.
Where's the intake?
There's they're acting as the intake as well, the bottom of it acting as the intake.
Hmm. Yeah, this is.
I'm not an HVAC guy. I'm a general contractor, yeah. But I don't think there's intake needed for the condenser units.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no knowledge of it, but from the previous owner, and I had one of them service, and the unit had been in there since. 80.
Right.
That's still in there. So I don't know if they've been working properly, I'm assuming, since then. So
yeah, I've seen this before, and there's often times a lot of heat buildup around the motors that make them work very inefficiently, and also have potential for fire because of the heat. So especially for an older equipment. So you might want to look at that with a mechanical person to just determine how effective that unit is, how efficient it is, and if there's an alternate that might work better for you. Committee, that brings us to the end of our list.
There's something that we didn't have on there that the staff recommended that we didn't address, was I think it's the rear dependency building.
Yeah.
And the previous owners. Looks like it's kind of sack washed. The mm-hmm. building on the left, who's that? I believe it's the Dolphin side of the rear dependency, and it was in the violation, Dumaine side, yes. But I would have to get into the archdiocese to address that building.
Oh, no, the Dolphin side.
Yes, the Dolphin side.
Oh, it's on the other side of
yes.
the
slide 170.
You can only see it from that parking lot.
Yes.
Yeah,
that was the rear building that was redone. That one
that
right
one.
There. Yes. And that was one of the things that wasn't addressed.
So what it's supposed to be there, brick or?
Yeah. There's mortar on the brick.
They smeared the
it's
mortar.
Smeared, yeah.
Yeah. This is a problem we were encountering quite often.
And
it's probably Portland ceiling.
I don't know. I haven't actually been there. No, just anybody?
Put a bunch of stuff up before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, previous owner, so.
Number one. Did y'all not address numbers 1 and 2 for a reason?
You're going to have to ask Erin. She'll be back tomorrow. Okay. Just shoot her an email. I'm sure that there is a reason.
Okay.
Because she's very thorough.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just wanted to replace the vent because it's missing.
I'm sure it's fine. Probably meant she could do that staff.
Yeah, and then the second one was remove 2 security cameras, and I'm sure you find that.
We didn't have one in a painting building, but of course, when we fix the cracks in the roof, we definitely want to paint the building the same color.
Yeah,
that's staff level. Sure.
Yeah,
okay.
We can do that. That's easy.
So, before we go any further, I'd like to ask if there's any public comment on these proposals. I see no public comment. Committee, any questions for the applicant?
Seems like the applicant's willing to work with staff to resolve all these issues, so I don't have any questions. I generally agree with the staff report.
Which I think that what that means, if I read into that a little bit, is that we'll probably be asking for a deferral to work out some of these details that are unresolved at this time, and you'll come back with more resolved proposals.
Sort of break this down.
Because I think even more. Because there's still some things that you need to explore, like mechanical systems and a couple
and
other
the columns,
things. Columns, the brackets, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera.
My real concern was that middle building with the slate roof on there.
Mm-hmm.
Never opposed to doing that once a slate, but 312 is going to propose. Under 312, I'm going to have leak. It's going to be
I think that what we're kind of saying is, if you work with the staff and actually explain some of these things, that they may come back with recommendations for approval. I would agree with you in this case that putting a slate roof on that slope would not work, and so an alternate material is likely the best. The only one that really stands out as a change to this building is the addition of the dormers. And I'd like to hear what the committee has to say about that. Committee.
Well, I think we've reviewed proposals for dormers on blue-rated buildings in the past, and I think specifically with a rating that high, we do not approve dormers unless there's structural evidence for them. But I think...
Which is likely why they ended up with the skylight.
Right, and we have approved skylights on non-primary facades of blue-rated buildings, haven't we? So is this one objectionable because it doesn't meet the guidelines in some specific way?
The skylight, you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think you guys just wanted to remove the skylight.
Yeah, it's a leak.
It's leaking. It has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, it's leaking.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm just afraid of skylights.
Yeah. A lot of the older ones, yeah.
But I think this is one of those ones where, you know, either presenting evidence of previously existing dormers would be one way to you know, kind of support your request, or considering installing a different, you know, flush-mounted skylight to accomplish the same thing. Might be, you can work with the staff to establish what that might be.
I was just proposing to the architect that just the lighting from the skylight, we like, but the leak, you know.
And the idea is that the dormer creates more of a false sense of history. A skylight
clearly is not
historic and can be removed and much more.
I'll try to explore some skylights.
And there are newer cabinets,
Velux, flat, not double.
Okay.
I do have, I guess, maybe one other thing to discuss, and I was looking at this historic photo early in the slide presentation. It's on slide 148. And that kind of shows, I think, what the original condition might have been, where those condensing units are in the cabinets. And I guess there's a door underneath. It appears to be a pair of openings, maybe a window with a pair of shutters on it. If this applicant was thinking to move those condensing units, typically, I guess we could find a place at grade to put them and screen them. That would be the most ideal location.
I think so, yes. I'm also sort of, if it ain't broke, maybe don't mess with it right now.
But if we did down the road, when you had to replace that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or put them up on the rack that we have already established.
Yeah,
yes.
Those would be two really great look, great things.
Absolutely.
Because I note in one of those photographs, it looks like there's remnants of hinges on those openings, suggesting there may have been shutters on the opening originally. I think this is a slide.
Yeah, they're definitely
on
those movies. Yeah. So I'm going to suggest that we defer this to allow a little bit more resolution based on our discussion today. Have I asked for a public comment? I have. Okay, is there a motion in the matter of 817 St. Ann Street?
Yes, in the matter of 817 to 19 St. Ann, I move to defer this matter to allow the applicant to work with staff to develop the proposal further.
Thank you. I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. Thanks for coming in, and thanks for working
happy
with the staff.
All right,
I think we can resolve all these things satisfactorily.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.
She'll be back tomorrow.
Okay, next item is 1022 Royal Street. We have an applicant present. Could we have a staff report, please?
Sure. 1022 Royal is a green-rated main building and detached kitchen building. Does it propose to correct or retain various violations, including proposed retention of above-ground pool? Application materials received November 27, 2023. Staff sent a lengthy violation to this property back in May 2022. The applicant is proposing to retain the vast majority of the cited items, stating that many of them date back to before 1994 when the current owners purchased the property. The staff will attempt to address each item briefly. Staff notes that the prescription period in the VUCA array is defined as occurring if no action occurs for 10 years after the VCC has knowledge of such a violation. One item that is noted as being new is an above-ground swimming pool installed without any permits between the main and rear building. This pool was built in 2019, and the applicant states that the reason for the above-ground installation is because the owners do not want to disrupt the soil under the courtyard. The applicant also states that this installation does not utilize any permanent filtering equipment. The VCC guidelines for pools state that the VCC requires a pool or hot tub to be an in-ground installation with the curb flush with the adjacent ground level, and the VCC does not allow installing an above-ground pool or hot tub with the exception of a readily movable plastic kiddie pool. This pool is clearly not in compliance with the VCC guidelines. Staff confirmed with safety and permits that this type of pool installation would also require review and permitting from that department, but no application was ever filed with safety and permits for the installation of this pool. Staff cited the vertical board wood fence, which is located between this property and the neighboring 1026 Royal Street, approximately the length of the main building. The remaining fence along this property line is a typical horizontal board fence, which was installed as part of the renovation of 1026 Royal Street in 2013-2014. The approved renovation plans at that time for 1026 Royal include deconstruction of a new 7-board fence the entire length of the property line. It is unclear why this section of vertical board fence remained in place or was replaced in time. The earliest photograph that staff could locate showing this vertical board fence dates to 2015. Given that the earliest photograph of the fence is within 10 years of the notice of violation, and the fact that this fence was supposed to be replaced, staff does not find this item described. The guidelines do allow for vertical board fences, noting that a vertical or horizontal board fence is typically 6 to 8 feet tall and is located at a rear or side yard. The guidelines do require that wood fences be painted and that vertical board wood fences feature a wood cap. Although the change in fence design about one-third of the way down the property line is atypical, staff finds that if the applicant were willing to cap and paint the fence, it may be approvable. Gutters, as with the vast majority of the violations, the applicant contends that the K-style gutters on the front and rear of the main building have been in place for a considerable amount of time. In the case of the gutters on the front of the main building, staff did locate a 2005 photograph showing a half-round gutter on this building. Then a 2008 photograph shows the K-style gutters. This item was not cited until the 2022 notice of violation, so it appears that on the front elevation, this violation is unfortunately prescribed. On the rear of the main building, staff located a 1983 photograph with a half-round gutter in this location. Staff's next photo of the rear dates to 2014 and includes the K-style gutter. As a 2014 photograph is staff's first knowledge of this violation, it falls within the 10-year period, and staff does not consider this item prescribed. The applicant is proposing to retain this gutter and downspout as is. The applicant contends that the gutter has been in place since possibly as early as 1994. Still, this work was never permitted and is not allowed per the guidelines. Staff cited atypical windows on the second floor of the rear of the back building. The applicant contends that these windows have been in place since at least 1994, but proposes to replace these windows with traditional wood windows once the existing windows have reached the end of their life cycle. It is possible the windows have been in place for some time. The earliest photograph found by staff that appears to show these dates to March 28, 2013. Again, this work was never permitted and is not allowed per the guidelines. If the applicant proposes a temporary retention, a firm date may be preferred to the current proposal. The rear of the back building features an atypical metal spiral staircase and a highly inappropriate door at the second floor level. Staff found that this door was changed sometime between 2013 and 2022. The existing door is not approvable for the guidelines, and at a minimum, staff recommends that an appropriate door be proposed in this location. The other door issue cited by staff is the fusing of several French doors to form single leaves. The applicant contends that the rear door of the main building and two sets of doors on the Ursuline side of the service building were all fused together prior to 1994. Staff requests a simple set of plan drawings indicating the locations of these doors and documenting the others as typical French doors. The VCC has approved the joining of French doors to form a single leaf doors in some instances, usually to satisfy code, and it can be done in a discreet manner. In this instance, it appears the doors were joined together rather crudely, with a 2x4 across the face of the doors at the lock rail and a vertical piece of wood over where the doors meet. Staff requests more information on how these doors have been detailed or proposed to join them in a more typical and discreet manner. Staff also cited deterioration of trim and door elements. Notably, there's no paint on several doors. The applicant proposed to sand, stain, and seal the doors, stating that the doors have been unpainted since at least 1983. VCC photographs appear to show that at least one door on the rear of the main building was in fact unpainted in 1983. Although the guidelines do not recommend applying a stain and or varnish to exterior woodwork, and notes the protection that paint provides for long-term preservation of the wood, it appears that repairing and staining the doors may be approvable. Still, the woodwork needs to be properly maintained and not allowed to deteriorate. In addition to the general inappropriate nature of the spiral staircase, staff also notes that one of the support poles for the stair and landing appears to be heavily deteriorated. The applicant states that despite the significant deterioration, the pole is physically stable with no movement. The applicant proposed to repair the deteriorated base with the JB Weld epoxy and by building a concrete block at the bottom of the pole to reinforce the pole to stop corrosion. Staff is concerned regarding the structural integrity of the pole, as well as the proposed manner of repair. Staff recommends a revised proposal to repair or replace the pole itself rather than building up the base. Staff cited the presence of exterior PVC plumbing pipes in the rear building. The applicant proposed to retain and paint these pipes to match the adjacent building surface. In a 1983 photograph, cast iron pipes are seen in this location. It is unclear when this material was changed. Painting the pipes would help to camouflage the pipes, and they are likely only visible from within the property. The final issue in need of architecture committee review is the proposed retention of the removal of a previously existing fountain and planter that was located between the main and rear buildings near the area of the now constructed pool. The applicant states that the fountain collapsed and was damaged in 2019, which is around the same time the pool was constructed. The guidelines do not mandate that these courtyard elements be maintained, but the guidelines do state that the removal of an appropriate water feature or planter is to be an architecture committee level review. The concept of the fountain planter removal may be considered approvable. However, the courtyard where this previously existed has been completely and inappropriately transformed by the construction of the uncommitted pool. The reconstruction of a planter or fountain may need to be considered holistically with the courtyard space. In summary, more documentation and drawings will likely be needed to fully comprehend this property and proposal, but based off the current proposal and the items under review, staff recommends denial of retention of the current uncommitted pool, noting that there are areas, there appears to be several locations on this property where an approvable pool could be proposed. Approval of the retention of the section of vertical board fencing, provided that the applicant provides the proposal to include capping and painting, acknowledging that the case style gutter in the front elevation of the main building has been prescribed, denial of the case style gutter in the rear of the main building, denial of the retention of the inappropriate door at the top of the spiral staircase, and deferral of all other items with the applicant to provide additional information as necessary.
Thank you. the applicant would like to state their name and address and relationship to the property.
Erica Gates, Gates Preservation, representing the property owner, 1026 North Carrollton Avenue.
Do you have a presentation or a response to the staff report you'd like to share with us?
We'll try to kind of go through these as, in an organized manner as best we can. So we do have, of course, multiple violations on this property. Recently been brought in to kind of sort some stuff out and get things moving forward with this violation case. So we do have several things that we've cited as items that the owner claims and has provided some photo documentation that were pre-existing on the property when she purchased it in 1994. So we have provided some the photos that we could locate for those violations. As Nick has cited in the report, we do certainly have this is the only window image that we have from the interior. These two windows in particular are very close to the end of their lifespan. So I do think the most realistic thing at this point is just to kind of have them permitted and replaced with appropriate wood windows when they need to be replaced. They're not currently leaking, but they probably will likely need to be replaced in the next 5 to 10 years, certainly, easily. So that's kind of where we are with that. I do think we're just trying to create a baseline for some of these violations. What, of course, the owner would like to retain everything. what we really, you know, can't give on, and what we can kind of work with staff on details.
That's it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Committee, any questions for the applicant or for the staff about these violations? I can start if you'd like me to.
Yes, that would be great.
I think that the staff has done an excellent job in both detailing and summarizing, detailing the violations and summarizing their recommendations. And given the nature of the violations, I would think that adopting the staff recommendations would be appropriate in this matter.
I appreciate you saying that, Rick.
I think that anything that is, you know, the pool, I mean, and I guess it would be subject to the applicant being able to provide some documentation that things have attained approval over time.
One other item I want to address, just because is the fence. The owner does maintain that all the fence work was done by the adjacent property when the horizontal fence was installed as well. So she you know, maintains that is a violation of the adjacent property.
Okay, that's fair.
Put that out there.
Great, thank you. Mm-hmm. Is there any public comment on the matter of 1022 Royal Street? I see no public comment. Any other discussion?
I'm surprised that the adjacent property would put the nice side of the fence facing this property owner.
There was an existing horizontal duty vertical fence there. We do have some photo documentation, at least from the street, of being able to see a vertical fence there. And I believe you can also see it through the window of that 1994 picture. I think that's why I included it. So there has been a vertical area. Likely was not, obviously I don't believe it's the same boards, but I think they just maintained the existing fence facade when this was replaced. So, I mean, it's neighbor against neighbor at this point. I don't think there's any really documentation on exactly who put up the current boards, but we do have an existing vertical board fence that I think it was going on.
That's
off
the least of problems here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also
correct. Frankly. Okay. No public comment. Would you like to add anything before we go to a motion? Do you have a motion?
Sure. In the matter of 1022 Royal, I move to adopt the staff report.
I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. You can always submit additional information, but at this point, we've just adopted staff report.
There are so many issues. I just kind of wanted to get a baseline to how y'all felt about some of them.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next item on the agenda is 1014 St. Philip Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do. Could we have a staff report, please?
This is an appeal to retain security bars and vents installed for the benefit of BCC review or approval. Application materials received 10/31/23 and 11/28/24 respectively. Notice of violation sent 2/10/2017. On December 6, 2016, staff inspected the property and noted that security bars have been installed
at the front windows, and two new vents penetrated the Burgundy side main elevation, main building wall. It is unclear how long the bars have been in place since the shutters are generally left closed, but they were first observed in 2017. The vents were installed sometime between 2008 and 2013. No supplemental materials or information have been submitted for the vents. The applicant provided a series of photos taken in the quarter as precedent for the security bars, which they state are needed in addition to the cut shutters, which they already have. Staff notes that many of the photos provided by the applicant are of cast iron railings in shotgun windows, not security bars, and are not comparable to security bars in type, function, or ornamentation. Many of the security bars shown have either been in place for decades and are grandfathered, or are also in active violation. Some are outside the quarter and not under the jurisdiction of the VCC. If you are legitimately historic and are appropriately ornamental, most obscure the architectural features of the building and are detrimental. The design guidelines are clear that the installation of security bars is not allowed. As alternatives, the guidelines suggest reglazing, particularly with tempered glass, has been used as a deterrent, providing a barrier that is difficult to break, an electric security system that includes cameras and a warning device, such as a motion sensor, can be installed at a window or door without altering the historic appearance of the building's exterior. Additionally, staff reached out to the Department of Safety and Permits to inquire if this type of installation would be found to be code compliant. Senior Plans Examiner Megan Murphy stated that the bars would be prohibited if the rooms are bedrooms, but they would also highly be discouraged for any installation given that they may make emergency egress through a window impossible. She stated that their preference is for security bars that can be spring open from the interior. Given that the guidelines suggest interior security bars as an alternative, staff is willing to work with the applicant on a design for interior bars that would meet the guidelines and code. However, staff recommends that retention of the current conditions be denied, noting that any further appeals to retain the security bars are likely to be based on hardship, considering the guidelines are ambiguous on their architectural appropriateness. Since no information has been provided on the vents, staff recommends that they be deferred.
Thank you. Would the applicant like to state their name and address in relationship to the property?
Bob Edmondson, 1014 St. Philip Street, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70116.
Okay.
And John Williams, 824 Burrell Street.
Lauren Connor, also with Williams on the fence, 724 Burrell Street.
Thanks. Do you have a presentation or response to the staff report?
I wanted, there are metal bars and windows all over the French Quarter. So I wanted Morgan to just say, go four blocks and around 1014, and what did you come up with?
Yes, so I went five blocks in this direction. I found metal bars like everywhere. There are a few that were shotgun windows, one that was outside of on Claret, but that still leaves 26 precedents that are likely here that are metal bars and windows, and there were more, of course.
And that's to say, none of these, all these are allowed or not allowed or in some condition, but for, at least my time in the French Quarter, these guidelines are exactly guidelines. And if there's ever a chance to say, okay, if that's just the way we're suggesting, we think that we'd like to at least make a case that for these particular windows, that it might be worth considering. And so the owner is going to chip in for a second. And if I have any time, I'll follow up with that.
Yeah. The property has been in my family since 1968. I have lived there full-time since 1986. During the time I have lived there, I have been burglarized three times and my mother once before that. On one of the occasions, they came through the front window on St. Philip Street. They broke out the window. They were able to unlock it. They were unable to undo the latch further down and let themselves in directly off the street. In breaking the window, one of them perpetrators cut himself badly, and there was a huge amount of blood on my wife's silk rug. They took her car keys that were in a bowl and left with her BMW. When I found the BMW 2 days later, by searching the city, it was run out of gas and abandoned in the Bywater, and behind the driver's seat was a over two-foot-long machete that they had had, obviously, in my home. And so the feeling of violation when you've been burglarized is a very terrible feeling. And it leaves you with an amazing sense of loss. And so these bars, I believe to be decorative security bars. The pattern was taken from an approved pattern in the BCC handbook. They were installed in March of 2013, for the record, as part of a major renovation that I did on the house, including the upstairs, where we replaced the windows and were one of the early folks in the quarter to work on tempered and double pane glass. We went back and forth with the commission on the size of the mullions. You know, we worked with the commission and we got them put in. And these were installed as the last part of that project. And at the time I installed them, I believe that they were included in the permit that we had related to the other work. So when I installed them, I believed in good faith that they were part of our permit. The one thing I would really like to point out in a lot of the photos around us, the write-up refers to grills, security grills. And I would like to point out that what we install are not really grills, but it's decorative wrought iron, as was approved by the BCC. So it's a little bit different than just plain bars or a grill. I think it has a little more architectural significance because of the wrought iron pattern. And people stop quite often to look at them because we are on one of the primary pathways for foot traffic into and out of the quarter. We have a heavy traffic. I have installed security cameras, as was been suggested. Those security cameras are used, have been used quite often by the NOPD to help solve a lot of the crime in our area, on our street or nearby. The other part is the recommendation to use the shutters. I don't know how many of you are that familiar with French Quarter shutters, but they tend to warp or are difficult. To open and close them is an arduous task. You have the latches on the bottom, you have bolts, you have hooks, you have split that you have to deal with. And for someone who's getting on in years, it's very, very difficult. So my two primary concerns are safety, based on prior invasions. And just to back up for a second, I left out one thing. There was one burglary where a gentleman made it to the door of my bedroom while I was asleep, and he had just been released from Orleans Parish Prison. And that was quite a destructive feeling, I have to say. I ask that there be an approval or an acceptance of these. They were put in good faith. Miscommunication, I'll take responsibility. I miscommunicated with the architect that I was working with at the time. We picked out the pattern, I installed them, and I thought they were part of the permit. So it wasn't until 2016 or whenever the report was that we had any issue or knowledge of any issue with the BCC. The vent was part of a renovation in 2008 when we renovated the entire kitchen, and the vent was pretty much placed in the same place as the prior vent that had been installed circa 1958 to 1960 in the prior renovation of the house by the Rising family. So we tried to basically replicate what was there. We did not realize that the stainless steel vent was supposed to be painted to match the house. We have done that in the last few weeks under a
new permit.
We got a permit from the Deer Federal Commission to paint it, and we have. That was one of the objections. So it's been painted. And anyway, I ask your understanding of the two primary issues. Safety, based on historical invasions of the home, and age allowance in terms of trying to deal with shutters twice a day. And with the shutters closed, it's like living in a dungeon, you know? There's no light. So it's life in the quarry gets pretty dreary when your shutters close. So I would ask and appreciate your understanding on the history and the situation and the safety concerns.
Thank you. And thank you for your family's longstanding maintenance of the house. It's a beautiful property.
Thank you.
I really,
really
appreciate
it. We try to keep it up.
Yeah, very much appreciate that. I'd like to just respond first. Going out and taking pictures of a bunch of security bars doesn't really constitute equivalency in this case. A little bit more scholarship might actually make a persuasive case. But just
lesson.
Well, more scholarship, fewer photographs maybe. But just for the future, a lot of photographs doesn't really help us out too much.
She did very quickly.
Right. But anyway, I think we can talk about this on the merits of the individual installation rather than precedent outside the neighborhood when we don't really know what's going on. Committee, do you have any questions for the applicant or for the staff about this?
I don't have. Well, I guess one question I have is I noticed that this house has had split shutters for a long time, and it seems like you could get a good amount of light and have the bottom shutters closed for protection. Functionally, it seems like that's the purpose of having the split shutter.
It is, and there is one practical consideration. I've tried that. And the split shutters, when the top shutters are open, I think that's where the way things were when we were burglarized, when they came through the window. They can get the shutters open and get through. So it doesn't address a safety issue. The other thing is that with the shutters split, your lower shutters can be secured. The upper shutters can't because of the close proximity to each other. And so what happens when you get a breeze like you had yesterday, the shutters slam. They'll come undone and slam. And I mean, it's had that front door shutter that you're looking at now on the left. If it's not secured and the wind comes off the river, it will slam. And in fact, about 4 months ago, it slammed and hit someone in the head who was coming in. So, you know, you have to be careful to secure it.
Yeah.
So that's one of the issues with the split shutters.
Yeah. I'd like to ask if there's any public comment. We don't.
Nikki Stravinsky, 1011 St. Philip. The shutters are actually quite functional, nice shutters, much nicer than what we have actually. And I believe this ex-wife said that they put the bars up so that they can keep the shutters open, but they're closed all the time. And these particular bars go into all that door, so it seems like putting them inside would be less detrimental to the structure of the building. And we have glass breaks. We've never been able to.
Okay, thank you.
May I offer just a quick rebuttal? The shutters are generally fully open all of the time, except and when I am out of town.
Got it. Okay. Would the committee or staff any additional input on your part?
Just that we gave options.
Yeah.
Yep.
Committee, any other questions?
No, I'll note though, that on slide 245 in this old photo from what might be the early 60s, there were shutter dogs on the for the top shutters that appear to not have made it to present day. But I think there are shutter dogs up there to hold those guys open. I don't know how... I'd be happy to install them if you could show me where.
Yeah, and that's not really what we're talking about
but
today.
But to reach them, I don't...
So I'm trying to work through this. My sympathy here is with the owner. Mm-hmm. And, you know, normally what we do is we look at architectural merit at this committee. This is an architecture committee where hardship, which you've stated very clearly, is something that's normally held by the commission. But in this case, I'm inclined to agree that retaining the window bars is an appropriate architectural treatment.
I'm concerned about the precedent it might set for other properties.
I can't answer that.
On the basis of hardship, I can understand retaining, but at this level, the committee level, where if we approve to retain, we're going to get lots and lots of applications of the same type. And, is that the world we live in?
This was a different time, and he had come to us, we would have just said put them on the inside and gone that route, right? But I mean, that's up to you guys. If you want to forward it to commission, that's fine too.
You know, we're really talking about a hardship, and I'm also going to just say that, you know, with, you know, over 50 years of occupancy here, as well as 10 years or more of having them in place, I just find it hard to not allow retention. And that may constitute a hardship, which I'm willing to acknowledge. But I'm not inclined to denial retention. So you can make a motion.
What about the vents?
They've been painted. That's all they require. That's not an issue.
Okay. So we're really talking about the bars.
Do we refer to the commission and then vote on it then?
My sympathy is with the homeowner too, and I appreciate that architectural interventions are often necessary given conditions in society and things change over time. I am worried about the precedent it would set architecturally. So I think I think that it's a hardship matter that we have to forward to the commission.
Do I have a motion for referral to the commission for consideration of a hardship?
Yes, in the matter of 1014 St. Philip, I move to forward this matter to the commission for their consideration of hardship.
I think that's the best we can do today. I second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you for coming in. Please feel free to thank you. Next item is 1012 Loyal Street. Do we have an applicant present?
Nope.
We do not. I think we should defer this. I know.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I think we should defer this. Okay. Motion for deferral. Matter of 1012 Royal Street?
Yes, in the matter of 1012 Royal, I move to defer to allow the applicant an opportunity to be present.
For how many months? For a month?
For 1 month, till our next meeting.
Okay, I'll second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes. 1120 North Rampart Street, no applicant is present. Do I have a motion for deferral?
Yes, in the matter of 1120 North Rampart, I move to defer to our next meeting to allow the applicant to be present.
1208 Bourbon Street, no applicant present. Do I have a motion for deferral?
Yes, in the matter of 1208 Bourbon, I move to defer to our next meeting to allow the applicant an opportunity to be present.
Now, I'm going to be a little bit vague on this next one. It's not 817 St. Louis. I know it's not that one. Which one?
No, I think we're good now.
I think we got them all.
We got them all?
That was it.
Okay, good. Then I think we've come to the end of the agenda. We've come to the end of the year. thank you, everybody, for a wonderful year of meetings. Do I motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
I second that motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are in adjournment.